If you didn't have a chance to hear John Mark preach on Monday, you need to make sure you get in and online and listen to that message. You need to listen to every message, frankly. Every message has been a word fitly spoken. You know, part of the reason we have a vision conference is so that God can speak to us and communicate to us and give us clarity. We have the mission. We know the vision. Philippians chapter 2, we're to be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, right? And shine brightly until the Lord comes. That's what we're here to do. And so he brings these partnerships along. And so, brother, thanks for that presentation. And one of the things that I don't know, just so you guys, I just want to kind of highlight this. Very rarely do you hear a missionary come in and articulate a discipleship process that's like-minded with ours. And number two, you don't hear him talk about sustainability. He didn't use that word, but he just articulated that, which is like a huge checkbox, you know. And so when you're dealing with missions, you want to make sure that you're dealing with sustainable missions, meaning that these guys are going out and reproducing themselves without having to be dependent on American money. Not that we don't want to give, but we want to make sure that this will be able to propagate and multiply. And, man, thanks for sharing that. That rarely happens, actually. And so it's really important that the mission goes forward with us and without us. And so it's really cool how God's dovetailed that together, too, with the Bible publishing and the message that we heard this morning from Vinny, too. And it's just... it's really cool. God's just bringing everything together. So I hope you've been able to take advantage of all the conference up to this point and pull all this together and appreciate that God is working in this church. I told Pastor Pradeep he was up and I wasn't going to introduce him, but I changed my mind. So I'm here. And I want to just kind of segue this, not just for John Mark's sakes, but also for our sakes as we consider, you know, what God is doing here. We're going to have an opportunity to give back tomorrow. And today there was some, I wouldn't say confusion, but I want to bring some clarity, because this week there's people that are exercised and about giving to particular missionaries, and I'm glad for that. So give as the Lord leads you in that regard. But tomorrow night when we have our offering, it will be to underwrite the cost of the conference. So just I want to be clear on that. So give to the missionaries as God leads you, but also if God has prepared your heart to give to help underwrite the cost of this mission. We've budgeted an amount, but we typically tend to go a little over, and so we just kind of we try to underwrite that the best we can, and so if you want to help do that, tomorrow night will be that offering. I want to give that out, and I do pray that you're praying about giving your life, right? A real action item that you can do is like there's a real call to put your hand to the plow. Steve just stood here and said, he really does need more laborers. He's being gracious. He really needs more laborers. It's kind of sad, you know, that our team is dwindling, and he's really looking to bolster the team. And so if you're led to go on a trip, this is no trip's easy. It's hot and all of that, but it's a good trip. There's going to be fruit. You're going to have an eternity. You're going to have opportunity to say, praise God, I was able to be a part of some souls getting saved. And you can talk to Jordan. You can talk to Pam about that. We've all been there, and it exceeded my expectations, frankly, what God's doing there in Valiente. So put your hand on the plow. Another thing you can do is make sure that you sign up for one of these trips. If that doesn't fit, you know, pray about it. And if you're like, man, I'm not ready for that. Well, get ready, right? That's another thing you can do is get ready. So, and one of the other things we can do right now is just get ready to hear the word. Amen. And so, with that, I want to bring Pastor Pradeep up. Pastor Pradeep, come up and preach the word to us. And we love you. Thank you for being here. And give him some love as he comes to share.
Thank you, Pastor. Yes, sir. Good evening to every one of you, and once again, it's a great joy to stand before you all, and it has been a great blessing to me that I have been listening to great men here, that and I have been learning so many things from the great men. And today, when Pastor Mike was speaking, that though we are working on the rocky field, from the rocky field, the honey comes out. From rock, God provides the honey. And it happened in my life, and it's happening in my life, and it's happening in brother's life, that we have seen the report right now. So, and also I heard my dear brother Benny, he spoke, he gave wonderful message, but I'm sorry that I missed. I was in a luncheon with Pastor Sam Miles and Pastor Alan Shelby, and some other guys were there. And thank you so much for the privilege and the time that you have given me. And though sometime I'm missing some words, but you have been so loving. You have been so like patient with me to listen to what God has really put in my heart. And yesterday I already told you that I have been preparing on three main themes, like points, that know the field better, that the field that you are plowing or you are going to plow in, know the field better and love the field better and work for the field better. These are the three points that I have been thinking. If you don't understand my message, these three points, just remember when you just when we bind up the conference, you know. So know the field better. It's very important. Yesterday I have dealt with that point a little bit, and Pastor Mike this morning, he dealt with that, and he's a wonderful man, wonderful speaker. So the field is the world, Matthew 13:38. As we all are the plowmen and plowwomen, I can say. So far no one has mentioned woman, so I want to mention plowmen and plowwomen. We all are like for God's mission, for God's field. So as we are the plowmen and women in this mission field, the world, we should know the present condition of the field. The field that you are going to plow in, we must know better. We must understand it. What is the condition of the field? Today I'm just going to talk about that. And maybe if I have enough time, I can speak on a little bit that we have to love better the field. That's what these two points I'm going to deal with. And the present condition of the world is not that much good. It's not that much in a proper manner. That's what I want to. It's very bad. It's very bad. And because the Satan is ruling this world. Of course, God is in control. He is in control. He is the supreme God, the almighty, powerful God. But devil also is working. So the Revelation 2:13 says, the world where Satan's seat is, Satan's throne is on this world. And the world is Satan's workshop, the manufacturing zone, I can say, the factory, this world. Everything is coming up, and Satan is doing so many things. And in John 14:30, Satan is the prince of the world. The field that we are plowing is the prince. And as missionaries, pastors, preachers, evangelists, we should be very, very alert, and we should know better the field. And even in Ephesians 2:1, it says that Satan is the prince of the air. He's the prince of the air. And as the preachers, missionaries, we should be always aware of the devil's techniques, the tactics, devil's wiles. I said in Ephesians 6, that day I was talking about that. So it's very, very important. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. It should move us. It should provoke us, because God has given me His work. He loves me, and He has entrusted me with the plowing work. He has given me the world. It's lieth in wickedness. And in Isaiah 24:6, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. The curse devoured the world. There is curse prevailing, and the curse is everywhere we see. And Romans 8:19-22, it's a very important verse. I love this verse. I was thinking about this verse, but I'm going to read only one verse, that for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It is in pain. It is groaning, the world. It's groaning that somebody should come and rescue the world. Somebody should come and deliver the world. Somebody should come and preach the good news of salvation. And the world is waiting. The creation is groaning. It travaileth in pain together until now. And I was just thinking that men's intellect have been ruined by the devil. The fallen mind of every human being. The mind of man is robbed by the devil. The mind of man is really robbed by the devil. The thief is always moving around. John 10:10, the thief. Yesterday I was talking about that. It has distorted the mind of people, the mankind. And Jesus says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus has come so that we can have abundance of life. The life abundantly. And He has done it. He has proven that. He has proven that, and we are the proofs that we have received that abundance of life through Jesus Christ. And Jesus did it. So thief is working. And we should know that the field where we are plowing, where God has put us, and we should know in details, in depth, and work. As a missionary, pastors, preachers, it's very important thing that I was just meditating upon this verse. So the ruin of man's intellectual, the mind, I want to tell. I'm not going to elaborate everything, but I'm just going to give some verses. Romans 1:28, the mind is called the reprobate mind. The devil has reprobated the mind, debased mind, I can say. In 2 Corinthians 3:14, it is hardened mind. The devil has hardened the mind of the people, hardened the heart of the people. That's why they're not receptive towards the gospel. They're not willing to receive the gospel. So devil has hardened the mind of the people. And the gospel The gospel light, the gospel of Christ only can be a kind of medicine for that hardened mind. That's what I was thinking about, and I was really learning from it. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the mind, it's like the blinded mind, the in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should not shine unto them. The devil has blinded the mind of the people. Billions of people are not able to see the light of Christ. They are out of the light of Christ. They are out of the heavenly light. Which light can save them? Which light can bring them to eternal life? Which light can lead them to the third heaven? Take them to heaven. The devil has blinded the minds of the people, and it's very hard. That's how we see so many religions, so many worships we see, so many things going on. And in Ephesians 4:17, the mind is called the vanity mind. The vanity mind, in other words, futility of mind. Ephesians 4:18, darkened mind. The devil has darkened the mind of the people. And Colossians 1:21, hostile mind, the wicked mind. And Colossians 2:4, it is deluded mind. And Colossians 2:8, deceived mind. The devil has deceived people, and people are not able to see the glorious light of the gospel, the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. And in Colossians 2:18, the mind is fleshly. Fleshly mind, it's written. It has fleshly desires, carnal mind. The lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is like fleshly mind, it says. And in 1 Timothy 6:5, it is a depraved mind, corrupted mind. And the same thing is given in 2 Timothy 3:8, it is a corrupted mind. And last point is that Titus 1:15, it is defiled mind. The devil has defiled the mind of the people. It is very much carnal, and they're not able to see the glorious gospel light that the pastors, preachers, evangelists, missionaries are just wandering around and preaching the gospel. So it's very, very important to think about, and that the human being has estranged from God. They have really turned away from God. And I was just seeing that Psalm 53:1, that they no longer would concern themselves with the thoughts of God, but with the thinking of men. People are no longer concerned about God. They say in their hearts, there is no God. The fool hath said in their heart, there is no God. There is no God, they say, they feel like that. And I was just reading this morning, Romans 1:25. If we really read from Romans 1:22-25, it's very clearly written that how the devil is using, how the devil is ruined the mind of the people. I was thinking about my own country, my own nations, with so many people, so many groups, so many dialects, more than 1,652 dialects are there, languages are there. I was just thinking about my people, that they're no longer concerned themselves with the thought of God. They're not thinking about God. Whatever they see, they worship. Whatever they want, they worship. There are so many gods and goddesses in my nation. I don't want to pronounce always the name of the nation, but because this sometime it may be problematic for me, so. But my people, I'm saying, it's very important. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They feel that they're wise, they're good enough, they can earn their ways to God, but they're really fool. The Bible says, not I. Romans 1:22 says that Paul is talking about that they are really fools. They became fools. And verse 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God unto an image made like a corruptible man and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. I was just thinking birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. It is going on in my countries. Everywhere you can see. There are so many gods and goddesses. It is every day it is increasing. I have been hearing that there are 33 billions of God. 33 crores, I can say, in Indian language. But I believe there are so many now. Every day it's growing. People are just worshiping the creation rather than God. They have left. They have not understood the love of God. God sent his only begotten Son for them, for us, for the whole world. John 3:16 says, but they have not understood. They have not received him. And they are worshiping the birds. I see they worship sometime. I have been seeing, because I move around the villages, I see so many things. Not only birds, even ant hills, creeping things, you know. They worship the snakes. Creeping things. They worship the snakes, different kind of snakes, and four-footed. It can be cow. It can be tiger. In fact, they're worshiping. If you come to India, you will see those things. They worship cow. They worship tiger. They worship elephant. They worship so many things. They worship frog. And there is a frog marriage in India. In some villages, I see that. There is a season, there is a time in a year, they go to the river, catch some frogs, bring them together, and they do some marriages. So these are the things. It's very, very heartbreaking. As we know the Lord, as we have received the glorious gospel light from Christ Jesus, it breaks our heart. It breaks my heart. And that's how I'm moving with the gospel of Christ. Four-footed cow. Sometimes I thank God, Lord, thank you that some people are worshiping that so that it will be more. I don't know if you understood my word or not. Cow. We call it Abraham in my language. We never pronounce like beep. Every Friday we have that. And I tell the guys, go and get some Abraham. And the Lord, and no one can understand that. So they worship cows and all kinds of animals, you know. And the creeping things we see. And it's very, very much a saddest thing. And we are very strictly said from the Bible is very clear. God says in Exodus 24, we cannot worship the idol. We are not made, we are not created in the image of God to worship the idol. Worship the creation, instead the creator of the universe. It's very clear here. I was reading that verse. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. God is saying to the people of Israel, never do that. And still now the world is like world has full of idol worships everywhere in India and my own country. And it gives a kind of pain to the heart of God. God never likes that. Verse 5, Exodus 25 says, thou shalt not bow Lord thy God thyself, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I am the jealous God. Instead of God, in the place of God, I can't worship snake. I can't replace tiger. I can't replace cow. I can't replace the anthill. I can't replace animals. So our God is a jealous God. He never wants that. And in order to open the eyes, we need to go. We need to go. We need to hold the plow. We have to go and tell the people about the love of God, that there is a true God waiting for them. There is a true God loves them. It's a very, very important thing that I was thinking about. And I was just saying the human mentality is estranged from God. They no longer would have spiritual sight, but were blinded by Satan. I have already said the verse 2 Corinthians 4, 4. And they would no longer be wise, but foolish. Psalm 14, 1, Titus 3, 3. Their mind has been corrupted. They would no longer be alive to God, but rather than were dead in their sins. Romans 8, 5 to 11. They no longer would set their affection on the things above, but on things on earth. Colossians 3, 2. They would no longer walk in the light, but rather in the darkness. John 12, 35, 36, and 46. And they no longer would possess eternal life, but rather faced spiritual death, eternal separation from God. 2 Thessalonians 1, 9. So they're going to face the eternal separation from God. The mankind, those who are worshipping the four-footed animals, creeping things, those who are worshipping all the idols. So they're going to go through the eternal damnation. God is going to judge them. The wrath of God is going to come. Romans 1:18 says that. So in order to rescue them, in order to protect them, you and I, we are to stand. We are to stand at the gap. Ezekiel 22:30 says that. You are the man, you are the woman that God wants to use you for his glorious mission. So just let us think about it, and it's very important that people are they're trying to earn their own ways to God by doing all the good works. People are trying their own ways to make it to heaven. I was just thinking about our country people are doing karmas. We have karmas. Karmas means doing all the righteous work in order to get to heaven, in order to make way to heaven. But that's not possible, you know and I know. It's very important. Karma. We try, always people are trying karmas, good works, they're earning their ways to God. But that is not the real way of getting into God's presence. We people, we know that very well. And I was just thinking, reading some verses, you know, that in Genesis 3:7, Adam and Eve, they were trying to earn their ways. They were trying their ways. When they disobeyed God, when they disobeyed the word of God, when they went out from the presence of God, they're trying their ways, you know. They're trying. Genesis 3:7, they went to a fig tree, they're getting some leaves, and they sewed it, the Bible says, so that they can cover their sins, so that they can cover their shame. But in the eyes of God, it's not possible. He can see everything. They tried their ways to heaven, but God did something else. God said, no, what you are doing is not right. When you see Genesis 3:21, God made something there. A coat of skin. Coat of skin. It's a very important thing. Coat of skin. He's preparing a coat of skin. Maybe he's killing a lamb and getting something. What is God's will? What really God wants? God is doing that. He said, what you are doing, what you are trying is not right. This way will not never make you to heaven. So come this way. You go through the coat of skin. That I believe that is Christ Jesus. The Lamb is Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. John 1:21 says that. Jesus Christ, right from the beginning, right from the foundation of the world, God is sowing something. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is sowing. Even in the Old Testament, people, they knew Yahweh God, but they have to wait until the time of the Lamb comes to the world. Unless until Jesus dies on the cross, nobody's sins will be forgiven. And God is showing that very clearly. When Cain and Abel brought their offerings to the Lord, in Genesis 4, I was thinking about that. They brought their offerings to the Lord. And Genesis 4, 3, it said Cain brought the fruit. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. He brought all kinds of fruit. And God didn't respect that. God didn't desire it. He never was pleased by that. I don't know. Is there any partiality with God? Is there any favoritism in God that He is just respecting one's offering and denying one? I was just thinking about it and trying to understand why it happened. Why God is rejecting all kinds of fruits? Because there is no blood in the fruit. There is no blood. God didn't see the blood on his plate. That is the most important point. God saw something that I can say chili, lemons, banana, coconut. There are so many fruits that we in India, we offer unto God. We sacrifice those things to our idols. Chili, if you see somebody, those who have already come to India, you have already seen those things. That they offer their gods chili, green chili, lemons, and banana, coconut, all the things. Maybe God saw something like that on Cain's plate, and he's rejecting. He's not expecting his offerings. God always wants blood. Genesis 4:4. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock. He brought something like lamb, I can say. He brought something. And God is accepting that. He's expecting the offering of Abel, because on his plate he found the blood of the lamb. The blood of the lamb was on Abel's plate. That's how he's expecting his offerings, but denying the offering of Cain. So I was just thinking, by doing all the rituals, all the good things, all the righteous work, we can't make our ways to God. It is not possible. It cannot please the heart of God. We have to find out what pleases the Lord. Ephesians maybe 5:10 says, just find out, just see what pleases God. It's a very important thing that people are trying to make their own ways to God by doing all the righteous things. But God never wants that. In Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Our righteousness, all our good works, our rituals before God is like filthy rags. It's like a stinking cloth, I can say. A stinking one. It stinks before God. And I'm very much broken because my people, thousands of people, lakhs of people, millions of people around me, they are in that. And my heart for them is that they should see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has put us, God has given us that opportunity. And it's very important that we should be aware of that. Jesus is the only way. John 14:6. It's a very familiar verse for every one of us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Jesus is the only way. No good works, no righteousness, no rituals will take you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ, the name of Christ. Acts 4:12 says that only name is given under heaven, that is the name of Christ. Without the name of Christ, people will be in the bondage, in the darkness. Jesus Christ is the only way. Why? Why is the only way? Because he has come down from heaven and he died on the cross of Calvary. He went back to heaven. He's going to come back again. So he's the only way, I can say. He knows the way. He came from where he came. He went back again and he's going to come back. And he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one can come to God, my Father, but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way. And I thank God that I could understand that. I accepted that. I believed that. And God made me his son. John 1:12 says, those that have received Jesus Christ, they became the daughters and sons of God. Now, I became the son of God. God has made me. And 1 John 3:2 also says, we are the children of God. We are the children of light. Ephesians 5:8 says that we are the children of light and we have to walk in the light. So people are making their own ways to go to God. And please pray for India so that people would understand the gospel. It's very urgent. Gospel is the urgent need for the people. So please pray for my nation. I don't want to just ask you for the whole world, but please pray for my country so that people would come to the Lord and people would leave all their righteousness and all the rituals, the traditions and everything, and know the love of Christ. It's very important. The Romans, the book of Romans 10 says, there are so many things I was thinking, around 15 charges is there for the mankind. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understandeth. There is none who seeketh after God. They all have gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There are so many things I don't want to deal with. So let us just understand that the field that we are going to plow, the field that God has put us, we should understand better. We should know better. And when we work, definitely we can get the result. And today we already heard Pastor Mike said that we can definitely get the result, the fruit. If we be faithful, consistent, though it is hard, stony, rocky ground, thorn-infested ground, but I have to be consistent with the call of God that God has called me to do that. I should continue that. And I have to, second point is that I'm going to just close in few minutes. But the second point is that a plowman who is going to plow in his field, he has to love the field. The love has to be the main motivation of his work. The love should be the key of plowing. If I don't have love, then I can't work. If I see all the rocky mountains and all the ups and downs, thorns, thistles, and I will just get away from that, then I can't do the work of God. I can't win people for Christ. I can't bring people. I can't harvest the fruit. So a plowman has to love his field, the field in depth. He should love the field. And it's like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loved the world. And as we are the co-laborers of God, co-workers of God, we have to love the world. The love has come from God. In John chapter 4, we see he has taught us what is really love. Love. There are four kinds of love in New Testament Greek. But agapeo love is very important. If you don't have agapeo love, then you will never be willing to go to the rocky mountains and thorn-infested area and work, like Africa. Dear brother is working. So we should have the agapeo love. And God wants that we should have that. And I was seeing Matthew 22:39, love thy neighbor as yourself, as Jesus loved. Love thy neighbor. Pastor Brian's, I think the theme of his life is love God and love the people. Love God, love. I sometimes preach in Odisha, love God and love the people. Thank you, Pastor, for that. Always he speaks to me that love God and love the people. God's love, with the love of God, we have to love the people because he has loved us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, yet we were still sinners, he died for us. He loved us first, 1 John 4:10-19. He loved us first. He died on the cross. He manifested. He illustrated, he revealed his true love from the cross. We are not boasting that we are loving him, but he loved us first, and he died for us. The Bible says that, I think in 1 John 4:10 and 19 says, we love him because he first loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. To be the propitiation, to be the atonement of our sins, Christ was sent. Jesus was sent. So he loved us with an everlasting love. It's very, very important that we should have that agapeo love. The agapeo love you can find in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. God's love is mentioned there. It's very important. God's love is mentioned here. The characteristics of agapeo love is very clearly written. It's long-suffering, it is kind, envieth not, parreth not puffed up, doesn't behave rudely, seeketh not their own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, rejoice not in iniquity, rejoiceth in all things. There are 15 things I was studying on that. In few verses, God's love is poured out here. So we have to love the world, whatever the condition, whatever the situation, we have to love the world. Because God has given us his love, and that love has to flow from our lives. If I don't have that, there is possibility of going back. This verse, Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There is chances of looking back. There is chances of turning back from the work that we have been entrusted. There is chances. So we have decided to follow Jesus Christ. We have decided to go on with the plowing tools to the world. No turning back. Let's just continue, and the Lord is with us. His presence is with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, wherever you go, and I will speak through you. So maybe I don't have to take much time, but please let us be moved by God's love. Let us love the field that God has appointed us. Whatever the condition, whatever the situation, let us just go with the gospel of Christ. Let the love of Christ constrain us to move forward with the gospel of Christ. There is eternal life in the gospel. There is power of God manifested in the gospel. So thank you so much, and may God bless every one of us. Thank you for the time.
All right, praise the Lord. Three. Simple yet profound. When I think about just the love that we need to have for the world and that blood sacrifice, when God looked in John 3:16 and the Bible says, for God so loved the world, it included the sacrifice of his son. And, you know, when we think about loving the world, it's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Especially in Christian circles. I mean, Baptists get nervous. You talk about loving the world. You're like, oh, don't love the world and the things they're in, right? But then God says, love the world. So how do we reconcile that? There's only one way, right? And that one way is Jesus. We got to be Jesus. We got to die. We got to go as all in, just like the Son. We're to emulate him, and that's what scares us, especially Laodicean American Christians. We get scared. You start hearing about persecution. You start hearing about people slamming the door on your face and not accepting you or whatever, you know, because we just don't always really love the world in the way God loves the world, like willing to risk our comfort, willing to risk. You know, I liked Vinny this morning, got fired up about the paganism in his culture. Because really, that's what we're talking about, paganism. we live in a pagan culture, just like Pastor does. It's a pagan culture, you know. All of our sports teams are named after the creeping things, you know. I mean, and we worship them just like, I mean, it's just similar. It's Romans chapter 1. It's going that way, and we're the only thing standing in the gap. Thank you, Pastor. That's true. We are the ones that have to love God, and we have to love people, and be willing to bring the right sacrifice. This whole world, you know, they have their idols, they have their works, they have there's again two religions. There's grace, the love of God, and then there's works. You know, however you want to define it. And so that's it. And we're the only ones offering the gift of eternal life, already paid for by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And people are like, it's too easy. No, it really wasn't that easy for God to give His Son. That's pretty hard. But He did all the work. He lived the sinless life. He did. He is the one that had the faith to go to the cross. He is the one who has given us now the mission to go ye therefore and teach all nations. And so it's quite a privilege. And Pastor, thank you for the message and the illustration of your life and the study of the mind and how our neighbors are corrupted. And we've been there, like Ephesians tells us, right? Such were some of you, right? And that's 2 Corinthians. But we've all been there. There was a time when we walked in the flesh. And so, man, I was telling Pastor Pradeep, I think it was this morning or yesterday morning, I was talking about some of the plagues in our culture, just right here in Cass County, especially in Harrisonville, why we have to feed children on the weekends in our public schools. I mean, it's a reproach. It's pathetic. I mean, isn't it? And there's a part of me that's a little disgusted. I'll be honest with you. And I was rebuked by the Lord when He started preaching, because I'm just like, man, you know, and forgive me, because these are our relatives and our friends and neighbors, you know, but they can't feed their kids because they're high on meth all weekend, and so we have to send them home with food. That's pathetic. It makes you kind of mad. It makes you kind of sick. And then God's like, well, then do something about it. Go win them to Christ, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. Go give them the gospel. Because that's Jesus is the only answer. That's the only answer. I'm all about feeding kids. But isn't it a shame? Isn't it pathetic that Satan has that kind of grip on our culture right here? Right here. I'm not talking about another country. You know, there's people that won't function this weekend because they're drunk, they're high, and their kids are going to go without food, and it's a mess, and it makes you sick. And so, then that's why we got to go out and invite them to Jesus, right? When we go, we're not just outgoing to invite them to the next church event. It's what He's talking about. It's the love of God. And we're able to overlook all of that sin because Jesus has already paid for it and get to the heart of the matter by faith that Jesus Christ can change that sinner and make him into a saint and make him into a son of God. And you know, and you and I know, if it wasn't for Jesus, that would be us. That's the other side of this thing. But for Jesus, right, if you start to think, oh, no, I would never do that, man, you're deceiving yourself. We're all men most miserable. Without Christ, I don't care how righteous you think you are or self-righteous you think you are. Without Christ, man, we can all go there. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, Romans 2:4. And so anyway, thank you, brother. That stirred my heart. It made me think about practical things right where we're at and why we're doing what we're doing in regard to just many of the outreaches that we're trying to accomplish. If we don't do it with love, if we don't really care about the people, we're miserable, right? We've really got to do it with the right heart attitude. So thanks for encouraging us in that. Were you guys encouraged? Amen. Well, the week's getting long, but we only got one more message tomorrow. So tomorrow everything is rested, and I pray that you're stirred up in the Lord. And we'll be back tomorrow night to wrap it up. I want you to make sure you love up on your folks from MCBC. Michael Blake. Sorry about that. Mike Blake. Maple City, they blessed us. He doesn't want me to promote this, but I can't help it. They blessed us with a tithe on the Bible publishing for Sierra Leone. Their church did it under time, on time, under budget. Yeah, man. Praise God. Give God the glory. Amen. That's awesome. That is good. I mean, that is that was under time. That was before that. You got the job done ahead of schedule. Like, It was a construction project. Now we just need to pray we get those Bibles done. So, Bob, where are we at on the Bible count? This isn't a Bible conference, but it is kind of. It all goes together. So we got about 10,000 of the 65,000 done. So we have Maple City. They're going to come down two more times, so we're thankful for that. You need to go back. Tell Tom Gang to send a group out, and we'll put them to work. So, and of course, we appreciate our LFF brothers and sisters. They come down from Lee Summit and Midtown, and they're helping out as well. We don't have the calendar up right now on the. I don't think we don't have that on online anymore, do we? On the website, Bob. I couldn't find it. Did you update it? Check it. But we will have a calendar back up if it's not up. I was looking for it the other day. I couldn't see the date. So, but it's running about every other week out in the Armory. See Bob Hall if you're wanting to get in on that. They will use the help. We need to make sure this story that Mark gave us about the Bibles that we did many years ago with Pastor Trotter and Palira Chibwana. I mean, isn't that encouraging? Man, I mean, that we didn't know all that. We didn't know that Mark was going to be here and give us a report. God just does that stuff. These are God things. I wish we were that smart to coordinate all this stuff, but we're not. So you know, you think, man, this was really a good conference. How well all that fit together? Well, that is not because of me. That's just the Lord. So praise God for that. God's just working, and he does those things that just help us know his good hand is upon us, right? Because when you're plowing by faith. And you really don't know if that crop's going to grow, and you don't know if it's going to go, and you don't know what weather's coming, and you just don't know. So you just got to go by faith, and you know what God's told you to do, and that's what you do. And, man, HBF, I want to thank the HBF folks and all of our sister churches and everybody else for just doing what God tells us to do, you know, whether it's coming down and helping with the kids or flying in from, Ohio just to be with us, or Living Faith, Lee Summit, bringing out Blade and we got missionaries out of Midtown, and it's cool how it's a big, and of course, New Philly, Ohio, and I just think about all the relationships. It's all about relationships, and it's about loving God, loving people. And so when we get out there, what we're doing is just inviting people to be part of God's family, and that's why they're so hungry, and that's why they're so empty. They just don't have the right relationship with God, and then they don't have the right relationships with others. And so, man, it just boils down to that. And God will send us all the way around the world to meet people like Pradeep and bring them in and have us sit under them instead of, you know, when we go there, they treat us like kings, like we're royalty. And they're the ones that are paying the price. They're the ones that are getting beat, threatened to get their arms cut off. I mean, that's not us. You know, what we need to sit under them and listen and hear what is it that drives these folks. Oh, it's the love of Christ. Imagine that. It wasn't a special book other than this book. It's just the love of God. It's that simple. So praise God. Let's praise God for the simplicity in Christ and not be beguiled from it, because that's really that when the chips are down, that's what you need, the simplicity of Christ. And so I appreciate that. Okay, well, I'll let you out of here because I don't want to tarry too long. I want you to love up on the MCBC folks, too, on the way out. Thank them for doing the VBS and all the things they're doing with our children. And then make sure we're back tomorrow. And if the offering scares you off, then don't even worry about it. Just don't give. I don't want anybody to, don't let that bother you. Fake it. Put it in an envelope. We got envelopes. You can get an empty envelope. You don't have to put your name on it. Fold that thing up. Just drop an empty envelope in there. Nobody will even know you didn't give. That's fine. I don't care. I'd rather have you here than your money. So I just want to let you know about that. And bring a friend, and let's encourage each other as we wrap it up. And tomorrow night, we're going to have our brother with wounded spirits here. Jake is Atkinson. So it's like Dave Atkinson in town. I have Atkinson in the brain. That's a new disease, Atkinson brain. But not Dave Atkinson. Jake Atkinson is going to be here. You're going to be able to hear from him. He came in and spoke this morning, and he's planting a church. And part of a church plant ministry in Colorado Springs to the military. And so we really appreciated what he had this morning as well. If you haven't had a chance to meet Jake, make sure you go out in the foyer. If you haven't met John Mark and Melinda, make sure you get out in the foyer. If you haven't met Vinny and Megan, get out in the foyer. Make sure you rub elbows with these folks. Get on their prayer list. Make sure you get their cards. Make sure you're praying for them and supporting what God's doing there. Amen? Amen. Thank you for your patience. Let's stand together in a word of prayer. And Bob Hall, why don't you come up here and pray? Let's praise the Lord for what he's been doing through the Bible publishing, man. That's pretty cool. And can you just pray us out tonight, Bob? You can come on up, yeah. Bob's been he's been working like a one-armed paper hanger, man. I tell you what, there's a lot going on with Word First, and I just said, well, I appreciate you, Bob. And him and Carrie really work hard, so we just praise the Lord for all that God's doing, and that testimony tonight was just really good. So anyway, this is Bob Hall. If you're like, who's Bob Hall? This is Bob Hall, and he's one of our pastors here, and he's oversees the Word First Bible Publishing, and him and Randy are still arm in arm knocking it out and for the Lord, and that's a big part. If you were here this morning, you heard the message on how they built Hezekiah's tunnels. That wasn't the whole message, but that's the obvious for me. That was a big chunk of it. And man, when you handle the word, you know, the rocks are heavy. And Mike was talking about rocks are obstacles, but they're also memorials. There's a dual application there, and it's heavy putting together the Bible. I mean, it's not easy. There's a lot of easier things you could be doing. Bob will take you out, and he'll give you a palette and have you cut that saran wrap off, and you can get to work moving, reorganizing signatures. And it didn't take very long to realize this is work. Like, this could get heavy. And you know what? That's what makes you stronger. And it's what binds us together. And it's what keeps us when the devil's shooting out the lip and things are coming our way. And it keeps us in rank, and it keeps us focused on the Lord, and keeps us faithful to the call of God. And that's what plowing the field is all about, having a heart for God's word, having a heart for God's people, and being faithful in the field that God's given us. So I pray as we leave today, that's where we're at. So Bob, if you'd lead us to the throne, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you for bringing me over here away from the podium. I had people tell me they couldn't see me when I was right behind there. So, but not a problem. But I mean, we don't get this work done without you guys, so you guys are a big help, and it's really good to be in a church that loves the Word of God, that wants to preach it, but we also want to send it out. And so there's only a handful of churches across the country that does this, guys, so this is unique. So we'll keep up the good work. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, I just come to you tonight, Lord. I just thank you that you love us. You sent your son to die for our sins, Lord, and he was buried and rose again. Because of that, we have a relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, that we can take the relationship that you've given to us and that we could share that with the people around us and share that with the people around the world so that they can come and know you also as their Lord and Savior. So I pray specifically for all the men that are here, the men that are visiting, and men that are going to different fields, Lord. I just pray that you would protect them, guide them during the next year or whenever they get back to where they're going, Lord. And I just pray that you would get them on the field. You'd get them the finances they need. I pray that you would get them the people they need, and I pray that you would get them the word that they need and the Bibles that they need that they can give out. And I just pray that you would bless them more than they can ever imagine. I pray that you would bless us also more than we can ever imagine. I just thank you that you have us a part of your work. And I pray for these Bibles that are getting done behind us in the armory to Sierra Leone. I pray that we would get those done and would get them in the hands of the people that need them. I pray that we'd see much fruit as a result of that. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to use us, and we will give you all the honor and all the glory, and in Christ's name, amen.